What's up, Atlanta? Happy hump day with Turtle with you for the full four on Sports Radio 92.9. The game. That means I'm with you till 10 o'clock, as I am each and every weeknight here on Sports Radio 92.9. The game. All right. Now, normally I don't do this because I don't need to. Who needs that? No one wants to be that guy. But just for a second, and then we'll get into our Falcons topic for the evening, and I think it's a good one. I told you. I told you so, and I told you so. Because all across the radio station today, I heard something that, if you're listening at night, you know what's good. And that is a growing, I didn't want to say the word concern yesterday, so I won't say it again today, but a growing speculation, how about we use that word, about Georgia's offense being able to compete at Rocky Top. And if you were listening yesterday, you knew we were on this like a moth to a flame. You knew we were on this. We talked to Joe DeLeon about it. Orrin and I broke it down in the 9 o'clock hour yesterday. If you missed that conversation, just hit Chris Thomas Tonight, wherever you get your podcasts. And we were on it. And now I heard Dukes and Bell and Andy and Randy and everybody else, as we're continuing to bring you the best college football coverage on any sports talk station in town, the question is starting to be raised about where UGA's offense stands right now after 2 weeks. Now, a couple of things to take into account here. One, neither team has played, you know, the level of competition that each other presents to the other one, meaning Tennessee hasn't played anybody like Georgia and vice versa yet. So is it entirely fair to judge either offense in good or bad faith based on their schedule so far? I think you can make the argument no. But as we get closer to the game, and for those of you keeping score at home, Georgia is a 3.5-point favorite on the road, meaning if this game was in Athens, they would be about a touchdown favorite. That to me seems like a lot. I don't know if I'm ready to declare Georgia a touchdown favorite over Tennessee just yet. Now, Orrin had the great stat yesterday about what Georgia's been able to do to Tennessee.
14 points 14 in the last four games, second half.
Yeah, 4 years, second half. So it was an awesome stat. So if that trend continues, should be fairly easy for the Dogs. But this is a new year, and you can't, and past performance doesn't indicate future results, as the cliche goes. So it's something we're going to have to keep our eye on as this game gets closer. Does the line move? Does Vegas have less confidence, more confidence in Georgia? Do you have less confidence or more confidence in Georgia? I think they're the better team, obviously. I'd still take Gunner in a quarterback battle, but listen, their quarterback's played amazing. I can't sit here and pretend he hasn't. I am not somebody that, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I wasn't incredibly familiar with Mr. Aguilar, Joey. Want to make sure I get his name right. Joey Aguilar. But he has 5 touchdowns through 2 games. And he's thrown for almost 600 yards. Pretty good. Orrin, where's he from?
Good old double transfer, actually. He went from Appalachian State to UCLA.
I thought it was UCLA.
And then when Nico Iamaleava transferred to UCLA, Joey went to Tennessee.
So this guy's not a nobody. He was obviously recruited to a big program. So I'm just saying, you heard it here first. Little pat on the back to myself and to Orrin. We were on this again like a moth to a flame. So just keep an eye out as this game unfolds on Saturday. Is the Georgia offense going to be able to keep pace? I think they'll be fine, and I think they win the game. But I'm just a little bit concerned about where we stand right now with UGA. I just need to see it. That's all. And then I think they'll be fine and they'll be back to rolling. And it's just a matter of things didn't look maybe as explosive, as cohesive as maybe you would have thought, given the quality of opponents in the first couple of weeks. So there's that. Now let's get to the Falcons. The elephant in the room is the kicking situation. And we won't have an update on that, I would assume, until maybe Friday. I don't know. I'm just speculating because they got to work today. So is one day enough of a competition? Probably not. I would assume that Ron, his staff, would want to see at least a little bit more. So I would think maybe Friday, Saturday we'll get word. But as of right now, obviously that remains the biggest story. Also, we got the injury report today. Drake London, Mooney are out there. Their game status is still TBD. So we got to worry about that. Casey Washington also has a concussion. Okay, so he's probably not going to play. What does that say about the wide receiver room? Not good. But we'll see what happens. Can't make any definitive statements yet. We got to see the rest of the week play out. Okay, so here's my question to you, and we got a couple of segments to chat here. I want to know if you agree or if you disagree with the following statement. The number one thing the Atlanta Falcons need to correct when they play the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday is establishing their running game. 404-726-0929. Do you agree or do you disagree? And if you disagree, you can tell me what you think is more important than that. Because there certainly are things that you can argue. The elephant in the room, the kicking game. Duh. Okay, if you want to say that, that's fine. Pass rush. Raheem Morris talked about this today. And I know we've been debating a lot about pressures and sacks and what's the difference and what matters most. Well, this was the exact quote today from Raheem Morris. Raheem Morris, and I put this out on my Twitter at C Thomas Radio. Raheem Morris on pressures versus sacks. Quote, anytime you're a defensive coach, you need to justify those sorts of things. But when you're the head coach, I can tell you, I want to find ways to win. And to win last game would have been that one sack that we missed. Okay? There it is. For all the pressure people out there, and there's been a lot of you on Twitter, the pressure people, we'll call them, that are like, oh, Turtle, did you see James Pierce Jr., second most pressure? Yeah, I don't, okay, and what happened? And what happened? He didn't get a sack and you lost the game. Okay? I'm so done with the defending of this thing here. Yes, let it marinate. Hopefully by the end of the season, Pierce has 10 sacks. But when it mattered the most and the lights were the brightest, to quote our friend Carl Dukes, they did nothing. Baker Mayfield scrambled for 3 first downs on third down, was their leading rusher, and threw 3 touchdowns. Come on. Like, don't miss me with the pressure crap. I'm sorry. Like, I don't want to sound harsh, but it didn't matter. It did not affect the result at the end of the day. I don't care if he had 15 pressures. None of them mattered. He didn't get home. No, nobody else did either. I mean, it's not just about Pierce, but everyone keeps pointing to this one stat from the 33rd team that had a graphic of all the rookies and the pressures that they got this week. Okay, that's great, but it's close but no cigar. You didn't get him on the ground. Like, that's the goal, right? I don't care if you pressure him and you miss him by an inch. You still missed him. Like, so I'm not buying that. Sorry, I'm just not. So do you agree with me? 404-726-0929. It could be the kicking game. It could be the pass rush. It could be the right tackle situation. But for me, the offensive line, and Raheem did comment on Elijah Wilkinson today, by the way, not exactly glowing about the right tackle, but he made it more about the offensive line as a whole rather than Elijah Wilkinson in general, who did get 2 big procedure penalties in that game, by the way. But for me, it's the running game. Because what have I been pounding the table on for a month now? The Falcons' offense is set up through the run, and then Michael Penix unleashes the cannon. It's not the other way around. And they got turned around backwards against the Bucs, where Michael Penix Jr. threw it 42 times, and you don't want that for your quarterback. To throw it 42 times. That's not how the Falcons' offense is designed, peeps. It's just not. So for me, the number one thing the Atlanta Falcons need to do on Sunday to get back on track and win this game is fix the running game. Do you agree, or do you think it's something else? 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. We'll take your calls when we get back. Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle just getting started with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And take us with you anytime, anywhere on the free Odyssey app. We're taking your calls at 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Poll is also up at CT Tonight 929. What is the number one thing the Falcons need to correct for Sunday night at Minnesota? I gave you three options: pass rush, run game, or kicking slash special teams. And then I gave you a slot. If you want to vote for something else, you can comment below on the post. So again, what is the number one thing that the Atlanta Falcons need to correct for Sunday night at Minnesota? Kicking and special teams, I think that's the easiest thing to correct and the least, not important, but pressing. Least pressing thing. Because whether it's Koo or somebody else, you're either going to make the kick or you're going to miss it. And that's essentially what Raheem Morris had to say today at Flowery Branch. The pass rush, you came close. All those pressures that we've been talking about. So again, if one or two of those gets home, it could be the difference in the game. For me, it's the run game. That is the most important thing that the Falcons need to correct for the game on Sunday night. Because if you can't run the ball on a Brian Flores defense, you're going to get eaten alive. You're just going to get eaten alive. 404-726-0929. We're taking your calls now. What do you think? Do you agree with me that the number one thing the Falcons need to correct for Sunday night at Minnesota is to be able to run the ball? Let's start with Jermaine. You're up first. Jermaine, what do you think?
Hello?
Yeah, Jermaine, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Hey, no, I agree. I think it's a running game 100%. I mean, I thought that inability to run the ball was really, I feel like, cost us the game. I understand we missed the field goal, but if Penix has to throw, as great of an arm talent, as good of a quarterback he is, him throwing for 35 plus times, I think that's
42, Jermaine. 42 times he threw.
Yeah, and I think the McGarry injury really hurts because we cannot get any push in their running game. Like, it was really rough to watch their running game on Sunday. So if that running game, I feel like it's the most important for their loss.
Yeah, Jermaine, I appreciate the phone call. Great start at 404-726-0929. 69 yards on the ground total you had against Tampa. 69 yards total. Bijan Robinson averaged 2.4 yards a carry. Tyler Allgeier averaged 2 yards a carry. You can't have it. You got to be able to run the ball to set up Penix for the deep shot. 404-726-0929. But what do you think? Pass rush, run game, special teams, kicking, is it something else? Let's go to our buddy Swede up next. Swede, what do you think?
Hey, Chris, how are you?
What's up, Swede?
I agree with you largely about the running game. I really do. But I've got to say that kicking is super important. I know last week not only did Koo miss, you know, the field goal, that the game-winning pass or tying field goal, but, you know, he doings a, you know, an extra point, and things like that disturb me. That is a real anchor of the game. You've got to have somebody that you can count on in situations that could mean a point or 3 points to win a game. And although the running game, of course, is super important, I really believe they've got to solidify the kicking choice. And by the way, don't forget cranberry sauce on Thanksgiving.
Thanks. Thanks, Reed. Appreciate you. That's our buddy Swede. That's an old man. That's a good throwback, old joke, going back to when I was the producer on Dukes and Bell. Good joke, good stuff there from Swede. 404-726-0929. He's right about the kicking game, though. I mean, listen, we just saw it. It cost us last week. It cost us multiple games last year. Riley Patterson couldn't make past like 45 yards. He had a very weak leg. I don't know why he was the guy they thought was the answer, but he wasn't. And now Younghoe Koo has put them in a position where they have to bring in Parker, Romo, and all these other dudes to come in and try to have a competition. But what do you think? 404-726-0929. What is the number one thing the Falcons need to correct for Sunday night at Minnesota? I say it's the running game. Let's go to Alexander. You're up next.
Well, so, Mr. Thomas, 100% right. If we're putting everything on Younghoe Koo, that means we're already behind the eight ball. It is important to have a special teams. We're predicated on running the ball. We lack creativity. It's no reason that Algier and Bijan should not be on the field at the same time. I need our coordinator to be more innovative, to be able to understand you have a multifaceted talent in Bijan. He should never have less than 50 yards rushing, almost 15 attempts. You can say it's injuries to the offensive line. Well, you need to be creative, be able to use better gap schemes, be able to just understand your personnel and do better. So I totally agree with you 100%. As far as the defense, I agree with you about the pressures. I don't care about the pressures. If you get them on the ground, that means it causes loss. That means it causes a tackle for loss. That means you gain positive yards. The issue that I see, yeah, we can push the pocket, but the only thing Baker did was go through the middle. No quarterback spy. So he just, once again, like he did last year, he tormented the middle of the field. You slow all that down when you can run the ball. You keep your offense on the field, tire that defense out, and you keep your defense from having to go over plays. So, Chris, 100%, you got to be able to run the ball, man.
Yeah, great stuff, Alexander. Appreciate the call. 404-726-0929. What's the cliche? The best defense is a good offense. An offense that keeps guys like Baker Mayfield and J.J. McCarthy off the field. Keep Justin Jefferson off the field. Keep Mike Evans and Emeka Egbuka off the field. Keep Bucky Irving off the field. How do you do that? Long, sustained drives. And how do you do that? You need to have a running game and a successful one at that. So Alexander, spot on. Great call so far. Let's see what Will has to say. Will's up next. What do you think?
Hey, Chris. How you doing, man?
What's up, Will?
Hey, so I hear a lot of people calling in talking about we need to correct the run game, we need to correct the special teams, the offense. Here's the thing, man. We can't get the run game going because we can't get any push. Because for the last however many years, we've taken skill guys. What we need to correct is we need to go get a real GM and a real head coach. And everybody wants to crap on Zach Robinson for his lack of play calling. Again, man, we can't get any push. And Raheem Morris wants to come in here and trade away next year's first-round pick. And one of the best draft classes coming up for a pass rusher at 25? I mean, we got worked by the Rams, man. And you see it week in and week out. And it all just goes back to Raheem not being a real head coach. I mean, he came on the staff with more people on his staff than any other head coach and staff. And his reasoning was, we took Kirk Cousins. We took Michael Penix. We have this giant coaching staff because when we win, people are going to want to take my coaches. Raheem is not winning at all, man. It's very black and white. If the Falcons want to correct this, go get a real head coach. Go get a head coach that cares about the offense and can actually directly impact your rookie quarterback. Go look at J.J. McCarthy, man. Look at Bo Nix. These guys are not half as talented as Michael Penix, but when you have a play caller that can actually direct and help your quarterback, it makes a difference, man. Terry Fondo, dude has no idea what he's doing. Raheem Morris, no idea what he's doing. The guys are a complete joke. Everybody wants to say Younghoe Koo needs to make or miss. How about Raheem Morris needs to win or lose? And he's clearly showing us he's a loser, man.
No, Will, that's strong stuff. Appreciate the phone call, 404-726-0929. That's a strong take from Will. Brought it. Because you know what? At the end of the day, if the Falcons win 7 or 8 games, you know who's going to be right? Will. Because you know who's not going to be here next year? Raheem Morris, Terry Fontenot. So, Will, as harsh as those critiques were, he's 100% right. Because at the end of the day, if they don't perform, they're not coming back. No GM in this league gets 5-6 years to try to put a team together without a single winning season or a single playoff berth. no head coach in this league gets a second chance with an organization and all the talent that this team has to fall short 2 years in a row. It's a win-now league, and the Falcons haven't made the playoffs in 7 years. So strong take from Will there. It's harsh, but sometimes you got to look yourself in the mirror. If the Falcons don't make the playoffs this year, I mean, there's obviously no way to know, but I'm 100% convinced there'll be another new regime next year. So I think Will's spot on. Gary's up next. Gary, what do you think?
Well, like I said, how you doing, Chris?
What's up, Gary?
Hey, the quarterback has a rocket arm. We may have to ride his arm. We don't have the push up front for running game. All right. But again, it still can be a great team. It just has to mesh in time. But don't give up on them yet, though. That's what I'm saying.
No, Gary, I appreciate the call. No one's given up on the Falcons yet. We're simply pointing out that, unfortunately, there were many flaws in week one, and those flaws, Gary, were the same crap as last year. Not able to get the quarterback on the ground, not able to stop key big chunk touchdown plays that you gave up to the Rook. Yeah, okay, great. Mike Evans didn't have a huge game. You know who did? Emeka Egbuka, who caught two touchdowns in stride for 25-plus yards each. I mean, come on, man. That's the same crap. Timeout problems, clock mismanagement problems, kicking problems, pass rush problems. It's the same crap. So, Gary, no one's given up on the season after one game, but there is pause for concern when the issues were plentiful and they were the same as last year. Brandon, finish us off this segment. Brandon, go ahead.
Well, I believe that, you know, pressure is important. Pressuring the quarterback and special teams is very important, but we got two amazing running backs, probably the best duo in the league, and they should be producing way more than 69 yards. And I don't know how many of Michael Penix got of those yards as well. So it seems with a problem for game one, and hopefully we stand a chance in Minnesota if we cannot get the running game going. I believe we got to get Algier running downhill and get some play action going with my man number seven there, Bijan. But we got to get the running game going. That's our bread and butter. We got these all-pro guys. They need to live up to par and start playing the way they should. Stand up, Dallas, Georgia. Thank you very much, Chris.
Yeah, you got it, Brandon. I agree. I think Brandon's spot on. That's where I fall on this issue. 404-726-0929. What is the number one thing the Falcons need to correct for Sunday night at Minnesota? Got another segment to take your calls here, so let's go. Great first batch of calls. Appreciate everybody checking in. If you're on hold, stay right there. We'll be back in 5 minutes to take your calls at 404-726-0929. I think it's the run game. What do you guys think? Pass rush, kicking, special teams. What is the number one thing the Falcons need to improve upon to get that dub in Minnesota on Sunday Night Football? More of your calls next, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. What is the biggest thing the Atlanta Falcons need to do to get corrected for Sunday Night Football? For me, it's simple. You got to establish the run. 69 yards on the ground versus Tampa, not anywhere good enough. But I also want to remind you that for the most comprehensive coverage of Major League Baseball, turn to our Braves insider, Grant McCauley, every Sunday for From the Diamond on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Grant will bring you up to date on the latest Braves news with exclusive interviews and analysis you can only get from the Diamond. This week's show is Saturday at noon, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today. And by 50 Floor, visit 50floor.com for your free in-home estimate. It's From the Diamond with Grant McCauley this Saturday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Taking your calls again on the Falcons, 404-726-0929. See, we got full lines, so let's get right back to it. Josh, you're in the game. What do you think?
Hey, Chris, what's going on, man?
What's up, Josh?
So I tried to call a few weeks ago while I was at work, and I had to hang up. I don't know if you remember.
I don't remember, but go ahead. You got me this time.
All right, so look, I feel like we have one of the most over-emotional fan bases in the NFL. It's only week one. We barely lost the game, and the only reason why we lost the game is because of missed opportunities that, you know, throughout the season, I'm pretty sure we'll correct. The reason why Baker Mayfield had 39 yards rushing is because the pocket pushed him and he had to, you know, he had to escape. So that's the easy thing to fix. All you got to do is, you know, do a little QB contain, maybe a little QB spy, whatever. That's easily fixable. I believe that we have a good team. The running game is not going to be this inept all year. We all know that we have two great running backs, and all we have to do is just do the basic things that we've done to continue to be successful.
But, Josh, just to your point, Josh, just hang on 1 second. I'll let you finish. To your point, though, I think the problem is with the fan base and the media is that we haven't seen those corrections. Like, Josh, you're making it seem like, oh, well, you know, we just get in the lab and we just fix this and fix that. Well, where's that been for the last 7 years when this team hasn't had a winning record or made the playoffs?
Yeah, but we haven't had the same coaching staff and all that stuff for the same 7 years. So that I take in a completely separate vacuum. So for this particular coaching staff, this particular regime, Raheem has shown me more than enough to let me know that, okay, all we got to do is make a couple tweaks here and there, and we're good. Everybody keeps acting like this man is not a two-time Super Bowl winning coach. Everybody
not as
like
a head coach.
Does not know what he's doing.
Not as a head coach.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He was a key contributor to two Super Bowl winning teams. So my point is, it's not like he doesn't know what he's doing. So everybody acting like we got some bum for a coach is just the most.
Well,
I can't say the word because it's not politically correct.
No,
anymore,
but Josh, and I appreciate the phone call, man, and thanks for checking in. I can't get on board with that yet. I mean, Oren, you got to win games at the end of the day. And as a head coach, Raheem Morris has not proven that he can consistently win games. I get what you're saying, Josh. You're not wrong in terms of a tweak here and a tweak there and it goes our way. But it hasn't gone our way. And that's the point. Yes, you're right. It's been different regimes. It's been different coaches and coordinators and quarterbacks. Doesn't matter. Same result at the end of the day. So until we're proven otherwise, Josh, I understand the pessimism and the negativity because it's not there. The results are not there. Again, you can miss me with this whole James Pierce Jr. got four pressures thing. I don't care. He had zero sacks, and Baker Mayfield was the star of the game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers along with Emeka Egbuka because he threw three touchdowns, was your leading rusher, and had three critical first downs on third down to seal the game. Come on, man. Like, let's just, Josh, we just got to take it at, I think the problem is we got to just take it a little bit more at face value. Is Raheem Morris incompetent? No, that's way too strong. But he hasn't been proven to be a consistent winning head coach in the NFL. There are a lot of guys in the NFL who've been great coordinators and didn't have it as a head coach. I'm not saying the book is closed on Raheem. It's not. We got a whole season to go. But right now, the results are just not there for us to fall back on and be confident with. That's what we're saying, Josh. Let's go to Thomas. Thomas is up next.
How's it going, guys?
What's up,
I'm
Thomas?
I'm going to start with, in my opinion, we have not seen improvement in the past 2 to 3 years in regards to special teams. Now, I'm not only talking kicking game. I'm talking the return game, the coverage game. We're poor in that particular area. When it comes to defense, we don't have a push up the middle. No matter who we put on the edge, there's no push up the middle. Defense starts on the interior. And as far as a backup cornerback, Mike Hughes leaves a lot to be desired on the field. And in regards to Mike Hughes, where's the help over the top? He got beat twice for more than 20 yards. That tells me there's a deficiency there. So if he can't get the job done, put in someone who can, or have someone else play over the top of him and
Thomas,
give him that type of support.
It's funny you say, Thomas, it's funny you say that.
And when it comes to the offense, my biggest takeaway from that is we constantly ran the ball at Vita Vea. Why, I do not know. He is a stud. Why are we trying to attack in that particular area? I did not understand. We should have been running toward the edge if we're going to run it. And that horizontal passing game, I hate it. Throw the ball vertical. You have a strong arm quarterback. Let him throw the ball down the field. We didn't challenge him down the field not one time. I think that's Penix's strong point is throwing the ball, being accurate, having a strong arm. Allow him to do so. And my last point, I lost faith in our GM 2 years ago when you cut Caleb Huntley. He was a great third option for the running game. Even though now we have two studs, I just think that those type of decisions come back to haunt you. And I'm not talking Caleb Huntley only. I'm talking decision-making in general as far as the GM is concerned.
No, Thomas, I appreciate the phone call. Obviously, a lot to break down there. He was on a roll. I tried to get in there. He was like, no, Turtle, this is my time. Love it. Thanks for checking in, Thomas. I'm just joking. I appreciate it. 404-726-0929. Listen, the book is still out on Terry Fontenot, but I think we might be close to the last chapter here. Because if he doesn't get this thing done this year, I can't see a world in which you bring him back for a sixth season with no playoff record. I don't know how it's possible. I don't care who you are. If you don't win in six seasons as a GM in the NFL, it's unheard of to get another shot. So that's just what it is. In terms of the running game, that's what I'm saying, Thomas. You got to get it back on track. And that's what will allow Michael Penix Jr., to your point, to stop being a check down Charlie like he was for most of the game on Sunday and use that rocket arm to throw more down the field. But you can't do that until you set up the running game, and that's the point. 404-726-0929, good stuff from Josh and Thomas. Let's go to Don. Don, you're up next. What do you think?
I got a total different approach.
All right, let me hear
it. Everything in between those lines, when they line up and they put those knuckles in the dirt, needs to be fixed. Offense and defense. If they can't get no pressure on defense and close a hole, you ain't going to stop nobody. If you don't open up a hole, you can't run the ball.
Well, Don, listen, I appreciate the phone call. I mean, in theory, you're correct. If you don't have an effective offensive and defensive line, you're not going to win much, if at all, in the NFL. But here's the problem, Warren. Rosters are kind of set. The offseason has come and gone. You got the horses that you got. The Caleb McGarry injury is awful, and it's so unfortunate. He's such an integral piece to getting that running game on track, but you're just not going to have him. Don, you're just not going to have him. And the defensive line, got to see more. Rook can't make that play. Dorless, need to see more. You got to get the guys involved up front. I know we don't have Grady anymore, but to Don's point, you got to be able to win in the trenches. And the Falcons certainly did not do that on Sunday. Tanya's up next. Tanya, how you feeling?
Doing? I'm doing pretty good. Be better if it was 1-0 instead of 0-1.
Well, you're
but
right.
My point is, I feel like it's the other. When you said picking from what they're doing, the defense, what's the problem, the running game? My issue is with the play calling. They could have ran it up the middle when they did that. They went to the outside. That last call, I think, was first down. And all they had to do was get a big body up there, knock them over, get them in the middle. You got three more chances to try. Why go on the outside? That whole play didn't make a difference. We weren't even having this conversation talking about Koo. And you can't put everything on Koo because you do what you're supposed to do in the start. You don't have to get him out there like you had him last year, kicking all the way from one end zone to the other.
Tanya.
And to the guy who said we're doing the fan base thing, I've been here since Van Note, been here since Bart Castle. We're not fickle. We just know we got the talent. We don't know why we're not going anywhere. That's all.
Tanya, brilliant call. Appreciate you. Spot on. Love it. 404-726-0929. More Tanya, please. You call back anytime. 404-726-0929. That was straight to the point. Well articulated. I got no notes. 404-726-0929. And Tanya, you're 100% right about the fan thing. Listen, I've been here far less time than you. It'll be my 5-year anniversary coming up later in the year. But I have seen one thing. Consistent inconsistency. And that's the worst place to be for an NFL franchise. Because you don't know which way is up at this point with this team, right? Are they going to just be the same like they were the last 3 years, where it's just a whole bunch of crap that piles on top of each other? Or is it going to be the team that finally corrects those mistakes and gets it right? I don't know. Tanya doesn't know. Don doesn't know. Josh doesn't know. None of our callers know. We don't know. But what history tells us, and to Tanya's point, more of the same. Because that's what it felt like on Sunday. And that is by far the most disappointing point. Let's finish up with our buddy Yo. Yo, how you feeling?
Oh, man, I am super happy, super excited about what's about to happen with the Atlanta Falcons. Listen, Turtle, I'm going to tell you something that I don't really tell everybody. The Atlanta Falcons' number one problem is that they do not invest in the trenches as much as they should. You know, it was 2019, the last time we drafted an offensive lineman in the first round. Do you know that we have gone over a decade without drafting an impactful defensive tackle in the first round. There are things that I wanted this team to do in the offseason that they did not accomplish. I'm happy with our draft picks, so I'm not going to go there with that. Our four guys that we took in this last draft were impactful. The problem that we have is one that we are not addressing. This is a game of giant men in a game of inches. And ever since we decided that it was not important to replace a center, a guard, or a tackle with first-round talent, now I will give Bergeron credit because he is very impactful, but he was a second-round pick. We didn't do it. And these are the things that manifest themselves when you're talking about going against other grown men in the NFL. I still am very hopeful about what happens with these Atlanta Falcons. Obviously, my 15-2 is kind of diminished at this point, so I have to go with 14-3. But we're going to make it happen. And, Koo, I love you, bro. You were amazing for Atlanta when you were good. You ain't good no more. Bye, homie.
Yeah, appreciate it, yo. If I had to bet a dollar to donuts, I don't think Younghoe Koo is kicking for the Falcons anymore either. Appreciate all the callers. Great calls tonight. We'll take more of your calls coming up later in the show if you didn't get a chance to get in at 404-726-0929. Coming up next, let's look around the rest of the National Football League. Got a busy football hour coming your way. Taryn Walk of AtlantaFalcons.com. What is she hearing? There's a couple of key injuries we need updates on, so we'll get everything covered. Boots on the ground from Flowery Branch. Up next, 5 NFL. True and false questions. What does Oren have up his sleeve? Don't go anywhere. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you till 10.